patrol by two bots. Hey, you a cotton girl, skin like midnight. You live in a country with a mute queen. Natural exports like vibranium make you richer more than every other country combined. And you're guarded by a man who dresses like a panther. What's the deal with that? It's totally weird. It doesn't make much sense, but I guess there's always...
Hey, everybody, and welcome again to Thinking Outside the Long Box. My name is Thomas Strange, and from beautiful downtown Jefferson Parish, Mike Manning.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? How's everything going up in Boston, LT?
It's going fine. How about yourself?
And we have a special guest today, Josh Opper from Boston also. Boston, Josh, why don't you tell us about yourself?
Well, I'm a beautiful, middle-aged white man who enjoys comics and philosophy. So thanks for having me, guys, and I'd like to say happy birthday, Tom. Taking some time out on your birthday for a podcast. Impressive.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Always have time for my fellow podcasters. Joshua Opper comes to us with a long history of comic books. And also, you were a professional wrestler for a while. What was your name?
I was Kid Anarchy, the antithesis to your missionary man.
That is right. And as I recall, the last time we fought was in Boston, Massachusetts, right after we had had a 10,000 Maniacs match where the loser was strapped into a straitjacket, committed against his will into a Rhode Island mental institution, and left there for 2 years. How was that for you?
You know, it was a little quiet.
Yeah. Very rapey, I hear.
Yeah, just a little.
The first year didn't exactly go well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what's a finger?
What's a finger? Thank you. All right, guys. Today, among our many other things we're going to be talking about, is we're going to be talking about the history and our favorite episodes of Batman. Now, Batman is an iconic figure. Everyone has an opinion about Batman. And, of course, there are a lot of different storylines and alternate universes. So to give us a little brief history of the Batman, I'm going to throw that over to our good friend Mike Manning.
No, you're not, because
you are
the one responsible for doing the history of Batman.
I thought for sure you would let me off the hook if I just threw to you. All right, so Batman, I can't remember. It's my birthday. I've been drinking a lot. Take over the history of Batman, for God's sakes. Throw me a bone.
Batman,
as I predicted, Tom is at least three fingers deep into the whiskey.
Batman was created in 1939 by Bob Kane and Bill Finger. He's an orphan whose parents were gunned down in front of him, and as a result has decided it's his mission to make sure that no other child has to grow up without parents. So he wages a war against crime. That's his story. He's basically a ripoff of the Shadow.
And back in the day, he used a gun just like the Shadow. Now, you mentioned Bob Kane, but Bill Finger didn't really get a lot of credit until much later. Is that correct?
Yeah, DC Comics cut a deal with Bob Kane. It all has to do with actually the Superman creators, but we won't get into that whole story. We'll save that for our Superman podcast. But Bob Kane cut a deal where he was acknowledged as the only creator of Batman, even though Bill Finger is the one who designed the costume and came up with a lot of the initial storylines and everything. Bill Finger is finally starting to get credit. But even in the Batman Superman credits that you're going to see coming up in the movie, you'll probably see Batman created by Bob Kane with Bill Finger instead of just giving Bill Finger equal credit.
Yeah, that's the way it's been for a while. And a lot of artists have mentioned to us that it's a high time that Bill Finger got a little bit more credit. So now we're going to go into some of our favorite episodes or books. LT, what is your favorite Batman comic book run?
Well, I really like the Batman sort of as real miniseries. It introduced Jean-Paul Valley as real, and I thought it was a really well-written and well-drawn miniseries back in the 90s. The character of Azrael I thought was really interesting. Unfortunately, when he was carried over into the regular Batman series, the writing quality seemed to go down a bit, and I just, you know, really liked that series a lot.
Terrific. I like that one, too. That was one of the better ones, as I recall. Joshua, new to the podcast, why don't you talk about some of your favorite ones?
I was never a big follower of the original Batman books, but I really liked a lot of the alternate universe books. The first, and I think it was the first Elseworlds comic, was Gotham City 1889, Gaslight, and it's Batman hunting down Jack the Ripper. I think that's probably my my all-time favorite. But I also like they had Soviet Batman, Green Lantern Batman, and everybody loves Vampire Batman.
Well, my favorite was Caveman Batman. Do you guys remember that guy?
I do. He had a wolf head instead of a cowl. It was fantastic.
That was really cool. I liked Caveman Batman. All right, for me, you know, I love the comic books. I could talk about the Killing Joke, which everyone likes, but they don't want to talk about because it makes them feel like they're talking about their creepy uncle who once touched them because it's kind of a guilty pleasure. My favorite, though, is the TV series. I love the TV series set in aired in 1966 with Adam West and Burt Ward. I just love that series. It really captured my imagination. I saw the reruns, of course, because I'm not quite that old, even though I'm very, very old. Those had this kind of a campy quality that just really drew you to the characters. And even though it wasn't what I would call full superhero action, it really kind of brought me into, you know, another universe where it was okay, you know, not to love football and baseball, and I could love this instead. It really helped me a lot as a kid to realize that, hey, I'm not the only nerd out there. People in the 60s love this. I love this. It's not such a lonely little world.
And, you know, Eartha Kitt.
And Eartha Kitt. My God, Eartha Kitt. Who couldn't love Eartha Kitt? And, of course, Batgirl. Who played Batgirl? That was Barbara.
Yvonne Craig.
Oh, my gosh. Yvonne Craig.
And who could forget King Tut?
King Tut.
I'm gonna come out and admit it. I forgot King Tut.
What about Egghead?
Egghead. Vincent
created especially for the TV show.
That was gorgeous. Egghead was so funny for no reason whatsoever. And you know the treatment that Cesar Romero did for the Joker was a little different than anything else we've ever seen before. A lot of people still look to that one as you know to get a lot of traits from. There are just a lot of things to take from that. And, of course, the Batutsi. You know, the world would be a worse place without the Batutsi.
It's true.
Now, that comic book almost killed the Batman comic.
I'm sorry,
That TV show almost killed the Batman comic.
Oh, well, how so, Mikey?
Because sales for Batman comics after that show went off the air plummeted. And the writers had tried to make it more like the Batman TV show without any success because the comic book readers didn't want to have any of that camp. So sales started to lag. They were on the verge of canceling it when Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams came into the fold, mostly Denny O'Neil, where they created the whole new Bat God almost, where he was like a super spy. They introduced Ra's al Ghul and all the cutting edge storylines of the time. Denny O'Neil pretty much saved the Batman comic because they were ready to cancel it.
That's about the same time as my favorite.
Some of those Batman from that era, they really were quite bad. The comics from that were kind of modeled after the TV show. So it doesn't surprise me at all that they were about ready to cancel the book because those comics are quite a bear to try to read.
And last week we talked about The Senator Was Shot, the Brave and the Bold issue where Batman and Green Arrow. And that's kind of that time frame. I think that was 1967, kind of coming out of the Batman TV show. So that's the Denny O'Neil influence. And that's one of my favorite Batman comics of all time also. So kind of bringing it full circle there.
And Denny O'Neil was one of the writers on Batman Sort of As Real.
See, full circle once again. All right, well, that brings us to our next section.
Well, I don't get to talk about my favorite series.
No, you don't get to talk about – you already messed up enough. No, go ahead. Talk about your favorite series.
My favorite Batman series is Hush. If you are a fan of Batman comics and like having tons of supervillains in your comics, this is the storyline to check out. Originally was published from 2002 to 2003. It covered 12 issues, 11 or 12 issues from Batman 608 to 619. So that's 11 issues. And it was really good. The whole storyline was created by Jeff Loeb, penciled by Jim Lee, amazing artwork, and, of course, an amazing storyline. And pretty much every Batman villain with the exception of the second rate, like Crazy Quilt and those kind of guys, the major Batman villains all make an appearance in this series. So if you're going to be picking up a graphic novel, you want to start reading a Batman comic, this is the one to get into, because that'll introduce you to all these other characters. And it was important in Batman lore because it also introduced the idea that Catwoman now knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman. So that was very important in the story development.
So how big of a part does the human kite play in the story?
Believe it or not, the human kite is the main bad guy of this story.
That, I would not believe that, actually.
You would be well not to believe that.
We did a whole show, of course, on terrible supervillains, and the human kite has to rank way up there.
He's no stealth man, but...
He's no stealth man. I don't know how we forgot to add the human kite. All right. Even though I was early last time, we're going to go into it now. We're going to talk about inside the front of the long box and to the back of the long box. Tommy, what do you got in the back of the long box today for me?
I was actually going to talk about a little newer. I was planning on talking about Dust Bunny by Brett Brooks and the folks over at Basement City Comics.
I picked this up at Pensacon. So you're going to take over the front of the long box. Bold move,
exactly.
My friend. Go ahead.
Oh, real nice. Just stealing my thunder, talking about a new comic. I don't talk about old comics.
Well, too bad. We're mixing it up today. Tommy, go.
So Dust Bunny by Brett Brooks in Basement City Comics. The main character is actually a Dust Bunny. The entire universe is kind of the seedy, dirty underworld in microcosm form. All the characters are very small things. Dust Bunny is a cop in this kind of film noir detective story. His partner is a dust mite, and they're solving the crime of a murder that took place from one of the city's leading citizens. The artwork is great. I'm only about halfway through the book, and so far it's I'm really enjoying it. It's very interesting, the different characters that Brett Brooks has put in here, and also the language that he's using. All the characters are small things. There is one of the leading crime syndicate people is a mop. Being clean in this world is the equivalent of being dirty in the real world. All the drugs are centered around cleaning products. It's so far a great read.
So they do a line of Ajax.
They do some disinfectant, yes.
All right.
So if you want to pick that up, you can go to their website, right, Tom? What's their website called?
I'm not sure, but it's Basement City Productions is their company.
BasementCityProductions.com.
There you go.
Oh, way to toy with Tom, Mikey. Good job.
I looked it up while he was going,
I was expecting Tom to drink. I mean, it's his birthday. I got to give the man a break.
Basically, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm still upset about you stealing the front of the long box.
Well, Mikey, I'm afraid that means you have to take over the back of the long box unless you want me to do it.
No, I'll definitely do Back of the Long Box. I'm going to talk about an excellent series that ran for 60 issues. I'm going to recommend everybody go check it out before the television show starts. I'm talking about Preacher by Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon. Now, if you guys haven't read the story yet, I'm not going to spoil anything for you. It's a excellent book all about redemption. And that is the main reason why you should read it. It's got kind of a twist at the end. But the whole series is very funny, very engaging. It is not suited for children, that's for sure. But, again, highly recommend the series. And if you're planning on watching the TV series that's being developed, that's going to be on AMC, you should do yourself a favor, read the comics first.
I couldn't agree with you more on that one. I loved The Preacher when I first read it. Another one of those comic books that made me feel like, you know, comic books could be for an adult. And it could, you know, be a little something more than it has been in the past. For my comic book, and we're going to talk a little bit about Ragman, Origin of the Tatterdemalion. Ragman was a kind of a short-run series, but it was groundbreaking in a lot of ways. This comic book was written by, let me make sure I get to the right page and everything. Created by Kerbert and Carringer, and the script was by Bob Carringer. Really not guys that I know a lot about. A couple of things that make the Ragman very, very different. Ragman was created as a everyday kind of low-level fighter on the streets, kind of like in the thing of Batman. He got his powers from a freak electrical accident where his father's friends were all zapped by an electrical wire. The electrical wire they were being tortured with because some mobsters wanted to find a mattress full of money that another mobster had left with them at their rag and scraps shop. Now, one of the friends was a circus strongman. Another one was a circus acrobat. And the other one was a heavyweight boxer. When Ragman touched the wire trying to save his father and his friends, he inherited all their powers. So he became as strong as the strongman, as good a fighter. And he pretty much had all the strength of all four men, though his actual power limit was never really tested. He could have just been a little insane. The Ragman is one of the few Jewish superheroes that were out there, which we talked about in a couple episodes back. If you're looking for a fun kind of story to just read on the fly, this is not for you. Ragman is a dark, gritty, street-level story with a lot of death and murder right off the bat, and it doesn't get a lot sunnier after that. But it's a terrific read and real good stuff.
Maybe it's time for Bernie Sanders to put the cape on and get us another Jewish superhero.
And one more Jewish superhero. Josh, since you don't have your own spot, what is one of your favorite comic books that we didn't talk about today?
I'll go middle of the road. Not too new, not too old. Powers by Brian Michael Bendis. I don't know if you guys have talked about that in the past.
We haven't.
But I love Powers.
It's a great series. Our artist was Oming. It was started in the early 2000s. Started out as an Image comic and later purchased by Marvel for its Icon series. And then 3 years ago, the Sony PlayStation Network turned it into a miniseries that you can watch on your Sony PlayStation.
Now, you've watched those. How are they?
I would say they are better than most of the DC fare on TV and not as good as the Netflix series.
Okay, that's absolutely fair.
I really like Eddie Izzard, who plays the Big Bad Wolf. He is the main villain. And I don't know if you don't know the story. So for the listeners, if you don't know the story, it's a crime noir superhero novel, graphic novel, where a formerly superpowered policeman tracks down superpowered crimes. It's pretty gritty. It's a little dark. It's a little funny. And I think it's totally worth a read.
That sounds great. I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't watched it yet. You know what I'm really looking forward to? Did you see what got picked up?
I did. You posted that. I almost cried.
Oh, Damages. Damage Inc. Do you guys remember Damage Inc.?
Damage Inc. was a great comic book.
Oh, terrific comic book. It just got picked up. And DC is doing one also called something else. But Damage Inc. and this other one set in the DC universe where superpowered claims adjusters are running around trying to clean up after superhero and supervillain battles. This is such gold for comedy. One of the funniest things, me and Josh laughed about this stupid panel. I don't know how long. Do you remember the elevator button pushing the button?
Yes.
One guy pushes the button. The whole place is filling up with water. The other guy goes to hit the button again, and the guy stops him. He's like, hey. I already pushed the button. And I don't know why, but that still strikes me as hilarious. This must be 15 years, 20 years, 30 years later. It's still funny to me.
That and One Punch always get me.
One punch. We should do a whole thing where there are one-liners. There's that another episode right there.
So the DC version is called Powerless.
Powerless, yeah.
And they've already gotten Alan Tudyk on board.
And Danny Putty, right?
I don't know who that is.
He's from
Danny
Community.
Putty is from Big Bang Theory. He's the...
No, he's from Community. He played Omni.
Community, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, right. Gotcha. Yeah.
He's real funny, though. He's very funny on Community.
And he was in Civil War as one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. He wasn't.
Not Civil War.
That's Civil War.
The last Captain America.
Winter Soldier. Yeah.
All right. So that's it for our special things. Well, let's talk about plugs. And, of course, we have to plug that terrific band that played us in. Thanks again to Kirby Crackle. What song played us in today, Mikey?
I don't know. Pick one.
Oh, I get to pick one this time?
Sure.
Marvelous Girls.
All right. Sure. Yeah, that's what brought us in today.
Terrific. Marvelous Girls, one of my favorite Kirby Crackle songs. And what's going to be the outro song tonight, Tommy?
It's your birthday, so you should choose that as well.
All right, then I'll take the villain song.
All right, I got to write this down.
And also, while Mike is writing that down, we should also plug ianlino.com. They have some fantastic t-shirts over at ianlino.com.
As a matter of fact, we're going to be including an interview with Ian Lino right now.
Hi, I'm Ian Lino, and I'm thinking outside the long box.
All right, we're here at Pensacon 2016, and I am inside a t-shirt booth. You design t-shirts yourself?
I do. I've been doing this for 8 years now. I've been selling at conventions for 5 years. This is my first year at Pensacon.
Now, this is a geek-themed t-shirt. I really enjoy them. I've bought them for all my friends. Could you tell us about some of your favorite designs?
Sure. So my interests lie in a wide range of sci-fi and comic book and video game interests. Like many people, I pull from what I know, and I've always loved things like Star Wars and Firefly. So many different amazing characters, and I really enjoy bringing those together in new and different ways, bringing mashups of fun anime characters, fun sci-fi.
Right. I noticed you have one t-shirt that's got Han Solo and Captain Mel Reynolds on it. Can you tell the listeners about the t-shirt?
Sure. This is a Vote Smuggler shirt. These are two smugglers that I think would actually make a great political party. I think most politicians are going to steal from you, but these guys are upfront about it. You know, they're going to tell you up front, we're stealing from you. And I can believe in that kind of honesty. You know, I don't mind being stolen from as long as they're upfront about it. So I think it's the right party for our current political climate. I think it's one everybody can get behind.
And if you like being stolen from, you should consider moving to Louisiana. So you are also an artist in addition to the graphic art you do on your t-shirts. You've got a book.
I do. I did a series of sketches for Inktober this past year that was Muppets dressed up for Halloween. And I had a great time coming up with what I thought each one of the Muppets would dress up as. So it's Kermit the Frog is dressed as Cthulhu. Miss Piggy is Furiosa from Mad Max. It's who I thought would empower them and who I thought they would enjoy dressing up as, sort of a Muppet cosplay.
Yes, and I'm not going to spoil the surprise about Animal as a Rocky Horror Picture, but I won't say who it is. Now, where can people get your t-shirts and your book from?
You can get these all from my shop online. It's ianlino.com/shop. It's L-E-I-N-O is my last name.
And they can also get the book from that shop, too?
Yes, that'll be online in just a week or so. I've just gotten those in, but those will be online soon as well.
Now, the first time I met you was actually a couple years ago, and you were cosplaying. You do amazing cosplays. What is your favorite character to cosplay as?
Oh, that's difficult. It's really close. But my favorite would have to be Batman Well from the live-action Tick show. It's just an incredible character to be able to be for a day. Close runners-up are Autolycus from Xena, because anytime you can be Bruce Campbell, you absolutely should. And Krieger from Archer. All three of those are just amazing to be for a day. It's really fun to get into character as well. And when we do that in the booth, people really appreciate it as well. It's a lot of fun to interact with people on that level.
Now, let's say somebody wants to come see you cosplaying and buy your t-shirts. Do you have anywhere that you put out the information of what cons that you're going to be at?
Sure, I do that on my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/IanLino, I-A-N-L-E-I-N-O. And this coming year, I'll be at MegaCon in Orlando. I'll be at Lexington Comic-Con, C2E2, DragonCon, New York City, and a couple of other shows as well.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks a lot. Had a great time.
Ian Lino of ianlino.com? Amazing.
And not only are they terrific and make a lot of good stuff, but their cosplay is hilarious. They do a terrific Ghostbusters cosplay, in which Ian is the game master and his beautiful wife is the key keeper, or maybe vice versa. She's the game master. It gets a little weird if she'd be the key master.
Yeah. She also makes a wonderful Xena.
She makes a terrific Xena. That's how we met. LT and I were coming out of a strip club. We see a very lovely young woman dressed as Xena and Ian dressed as Autocles, and we start screaming at the top of our lungs from a strip club doorway, "Hey, guys, are you going to Comic-Con? Hey, we're going to meet you there." Not creepy. Not creepy at all. Right?
It was even less creepy when we actually met them there.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't awkward in the least. So that's all the plugs we have for today. We have a few conventions coming up, but nothing written in stone yet. I just wanted to thank once again Kirby Crackle, Ian Leto for being just so nice and giving us on that interview. And, of course, Josh Hopper, thank you so much for being our special guest this week. Do you think we can talk you into doing it more often?
I think so.
All right. It's pretty easy. Not a lot of torture, right?
No. Right. I'm on IanLeno.com right now, and I think I'm buying the Argyle Fighters long sleeve.
It's very nice.
Did you see the Groot Beer shirt?
No.
Groot Beer. You gotta get the Groot Beer shirt. And, of course, I'm drinking out of a Johnny Skywalker glass right at the moment.
And I love my Starling Archer t-shirt.
Yes, from Starling City. All good stuff. All right, thanks again. And this is Thomas Strange.
Mike Manning.
Tom Boucher.
And special guest Josh.
Saying once again, don't diss what you hate, promote what you love, guys. Have a great day.
Every time I build a robot, every time I sink a ship, every time I throw a girl off of a big old building or abandoned bridge, it seems you're always there to stop me. I've had enough, I'm sick of it. No more scheming, no more stealing. I think I'm done with all of this. So I took my death breath.